distinguished members of the forum, distinguished delegates, observers, and friends, with great pleasure and honor, I now declare open the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. It is a special pleasure to extend a warm welcome to all of you on behalf of the Department of Economic and Social Affairs of the United Nations. In accordance with the customs of the indigenous peoples and in recognition of the peoples of these lands, we will now have a traditional ceremonial welcome by the Chief of Onondaga Nation, Chief Todadaho C. Hill.
Swadhon siyos again jokwa. Na iha sungwawi ne sungwai disa I sa niungwai hote. Ai ne hadik do niungwe tegesh kadah ne en niundega. Na go and dwadi yata ne kana hanyu. I ti ne gan gai hun dakwa to no nan kada gota ne o hand a gai hodekwi. And da na go hia 21 dot that 21 takes it there ne scano ai twa no dunyu hik. Da na go hia ni diungwe tege ungwayosi ne tona ne skada hwetwa and what ne go ha. Eat then what the yet that then what that no ha down it to deep now take don't what nigo ha down the hat to ha one jar dad it 980 no ha the 80 no hankwa to know he and twas it sat neo eat ungoit again has it to know the ungoit quite hard and it ungoit nigo he was stuck with and down I ate it never how it go ya soon go the what and yes he sat no need sat go we home that and down I eat with what then no ya scada hand why what nigo ha what the 80 no ha 80 no ha sat one jar it down it to deep me a tick don't go out nikoha. Down there, what the tino hand, the aguig in up with that hind down and it's go out this side. Now it's scan on to enough doing it to now when jar again, June go away. Now I know we who want it at noon, you hoy and tossy. Now you own it to so good gutty. Nick guy at the gin husset, Nick and Joko Guigi. And down I deep with what they know yet. Scada hand wire, what nigga have, what the tino hand, the aguig with that hind down and it's go out this side. Dane to di me a tek don gwa ni go ha. Dane ne sa ti o wa wa ye, na ne unki o vi sa I o stak wi. Na ye unki a to ye ni, na ye ngan di o twi no ni. A ye e o a da ho pi na ngan ni skan o ad ka ha du. Na ye to ha gwa ne dwan da gwa ne to di o wa wa ye. E na ye hiya ha di an hiya ga he na ha di ni go ha ne a kui na ga o snow wa wa ka ha du. E na ye se ne o snow wa wa ka ha du. Tony got who say a guy, not need to got Nicar that's the Gagessa at Sat of one jarred it. And I did what those soon, so I soon it scanner on it to deal where we're here. And down I did with what they know yet, Scada hand why, what they go home, but the Tino hand it's at deal where we're here. Down it to deep, near Dick don't got Nicar. And down there, hoi waka shun go, night, and I guess we'll go with her doing you. Nanga, we hope one it and Honadi Hun, that's a go with her canistony. And the other end in it, it is so that had the one a doing this, he got going to go on it, ten eight dahwa. And on the oat net, said watch ya in the cock guy aqua. And on the oat net, it is so that soon cock guy aqua. And on it, told the yeti at the end, it was just enough wine you. And I know we have one it's at noon, you have not the hunda. And I did what it was on you. So I saw Honda di what they and yeti, it's at noon, you have not the hunda, it's at going yard it. And on I did with what they know ya. Skada hand wire, what nigo ha? What the tino hand, the aquagin, the asso honadi for the endirti, sat no neo and honadi hoon that saka in yard it. Dane to deep near tikton, what nigo ha? And dana, so go yat dog when it go ye and you go to get the unki and yard. To no to stand you sat no took nakti sati. Nichi suk don't know the at sat haina dana. Night yat wa hot doga, yat toya naha. Ayago yat the gundi on the way yet sat of when jard it. I say it and do a death me dah it. And I ha, so go yat dog when it. Gaye new quit the gay, the yunky yat yard on it, ah, we, I got Saint Wan, ha, yago di yea. And down the oat net, what did the guashu net got ne go head kissel. And down the oat net, whom why yat dog when it said walk go on it, not net, scan yat dio. I net, ha ha, we net, ha wire not net, some go at this side. And I did, but there was soon you, so I saw him go to and dehan it. kai huio. And da na I di wed wa de no nya ska de hen dwa wa ne go ha wa di ti no ha ne ka ye nyung go te ge de yung ki en ya do na I kwa to ne sted wa ko wa na na ne ska nya da yo da na to di ne ha te kong wa ne go ha da na sa ni ho ye si ne sung wa ti sa I na I ha we ha wen ja ge di un sa ha ko nen den su na ha he to no he to go ta kwa sa nu tok nak ti sa I na I ya Yadet to dok takwa. When the day ni was sun the day ni ho sehti ha di ne kano wan kwasa. And I ya sungo dasu yosu ne jungwe homi ne sungo awi ne ane ada te wahti. And I did what was sun yo sa asun sungo na wan kwa. And da na I did what was there no ya skada hen dwai what ni go ha. Was said what na ha ne kain ya ki hanage ne sungo awi ti sa. Da ne to di ne tek tong wa ni go ha. Aneto, ni onda ga woga di huat guenya ne kano haenya. Aneto.
I thank Toradaho Sid Hill for the ceremonial welcome to the 30th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished delegates, we shall now proceed to the first item on the agenda, the election of the chair for this session. I first give the floor to Ms. Valmaine Toki, member of the forum. Can you press your microphone? Yes, now it's good.
Thank you. I nominate Daly Sambo de Roe as chairperson of the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues.
I thank Ms. Valmaine Toki for the nomination of Ms. Daly Sambo de Roe as chair of the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I now give the floor to Mr. Edward John.
Thank you. I have the distinct honor of seconding the nomination for my colleague, Daly Sambo de Roe, as the chair for the Permanent Forum's 13th session.
I thank Mr. Edward John for his statement. May I take it? It is the wish of the members of the Permanent Forum to elect Daly Sambo de Roe as the chair of the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues by acclamation. It is so decided. I wish to extend my warmest congratulations to Ms. Daly Sambo de Roe on her election. I am confident that she will guide the session of the forum to a successful conclusion. I would now like to invite Ms. Daly Sambo de Roe to take over the proceedings of the meeting. Before doing so, however, I would like to thank Mr. Kanyeke Sena for his leading role as chair of the 12th session of the forum and invite him to pass the baton to Ms. Daly Sambo de Roe as newly elected chair of the forum. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kanyinki, and also for your service as the past chair of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished delegates, observers, and friends, I would like to thank Mr. Thomas Gass, Assistant Secretary General for Policy Coordination and Interagency Affairs, for opening the session and conducting the election. I would also like to thank the members of the Permanent Forum for electing me as the chair of the 13th session. I will make every effort to live up to your expectations and to ensure the smooth conduct of the session. As chair of this session, I am also particularly happy on behalf of the members of the forum to extend a warm welcome to our distinguished guest at this opening meeting, His Excellency Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, His Excellency John Ash, President of the General Assembly, His Excellency Martin Sajik, President of the Economic and Social Council, His Excellency Lieutenant General, the Right Honorable Sir Jerry Matapare, Governor General of New Zealand, and Her Excellency Nuvia Magdalena Mayorga Delgado, Director General of the National Commission for the Development of Indigenous Peoples of Mexico. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers and friends, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I now have the honor to invite the Secretary General of the United Nations, His Excellency Ban Ki-moon, to make a statement. Sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Dolly Sambodoro. I'd like to sincerely congratulate you for your election to the chair of this forum, permanent forum of indigenous people. You can count on the Secretariat, and I wish you all the best. Your Excellency, Lieutenant General Sir Jerry Matapare, Governor General of New Zealand, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum, Excellencies, Indigenous Elders, distinguished representatives of Indigenous Peoples Organization, distinguished representatives of the UN system, other intergovernmental organizations, and civil society, ladies and gentlemen. I'm honored to join you as we open this 13th session of UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. This permanent forum is a vital mechanism to ensure that the international community listens to the voices and concerns, the hopes and aspirations of indigenous peoples in every corner of the world. Since it was established in the year 2000, the UN Permanent Forum has become recognized as the world's primary arena for deliberations of issues related to indigenous peoples. Its success depends on the extent to which different partners, member states, indigenous peoples, UN agencies, and others continue to work closely together to identify creative solutions for some of the most complex and intractable problems affecting the indigenous peoples. Forging win-win solutions for all is your responsibility and your challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, over the years, we have made much important progress at the United Nations to advance rights and expand opportunities for indigenous peoples. Along with this permanent forum, we have established two other important tools: the expert mechanism on the rights of indigenous peoples and the special rapporteur on the rights of indigenous peoples. And in 2007, member states adopted the landmark UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This year, we have a number of critical opportunities to build on our progress. It begins with the high-level event of the United Nations General Assembly, known as the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples. I know this has been a matter of much discussion and that there are strongly held views, which I fully understand. I want to use this opportunity to encourage member states and indigenous peoples to find a way forward and proceed with a world conference that builds on the UN's strong commitment to the involvement of indigenous peoples in defining solutions for our common future. Success will depend on member states and indigenous peoples working together in a constructive and flexible manner while respecting diverse perspectives. I count on the President of the General Assembly, member states, and indigenous peoples groups to demonstrate the leadership and political will needed at this time. And as with any collaborative process, building trust is essential. This year will also mark the end of the second decade on indigenous peoples. We are all aware that we continue to face many challenges in realizing the rights of indigenous peoples. From language to land, from poverty to participation, indigenous peoples continue to face discrimination, exploitation, and disproportionate impacts of societal harms. We must continue to work together to help consolidate achievements as we strive to make the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples a living document. At the same time, the ongoing process to define the development agenda beyond 2015 is absolutely crucial. The needs, voices, and contributions of indigenous peoples will be a critical part of these efforts. One vital area of focus is climate change. Indigenous peoples are often on the front lines of this existential challenge. I have seen that time and again in my visits around the world. On September 23rd, I will convene a climate summit at the United Nations focused on action and solutions. The traditional knowledge and practices of indigenous peoples can help to close the emissions gap and lead us onto a more sustainable path. I urge member states to recognize the central role of indigenous peoples in meeting the climate change. Distinguished Permanent Forum members, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, during this 13th session of the Permanent Forum, you have taken on the overarching theme of good governance. Indigenous peoples around the world must have the right to determine their own priorities and maintain their traditions, cultures, and identity. As you launch your discussions, I want to reiterate the commitment of the United Nations and my own personal resolve. You can count on my full support for the rights of all indigenous peoples to live a life of dignity, peace, and well-being. I wish you a very successful and productive session. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
I thank the Secretary General for his statement. I also thank him for his recent visit to Greenland, to the Arctic, and am particularly impressed that he enjoyed the muktuk in Greenland. I now have the honor to invite His Excellency Mr. John Ash, President of the General Assembly, to make a statement. Mr. Ash.
Governor General, Excellencies, Secretary General, distinguished elders, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum, distinguished representatives of Indigenous peoples, ladies and gentlemen, I am indeed very pleased to address the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous issues. And let me also join our Secretary General in congratulating you, Madam Chair, on your unanimous election as chairperson of the forum. To you, the Indigenous people, I warmly welcome you to UN headquarters, knowing that you have traveled from near and far to be with us today. This year's theme focuses on good governance, consistent with the UN Declaration on the Rights of the Indigenous Peoples, with special reference to its Articles 3, 6, 46, subparagraph 3, which reaffirms the rights to self-determination and nationality, and will give you an opportunity to compare the significant progress made at the international level with the realities at the national level. Distinguished guests, your presence here today attests to the priority that you attach to your engagement with the international community. It shows your commitment to ensuring the community understands well and respects the aspirations of your peoples and the challenges you face in fulfilling them. And it likewise demonstrates your determination that the community show greater support for the priorities you have set for yourselves. The best way to strengthen such understanding and support is through dialogue. To its great credit, since its establishment, the Permanent Forum has rendered valuable service in terms of strengthening dialogue between Indigenous peoples, member states, and the UN system. The Forum's body of work on thematic issues has enabled an understanding on what might be the most useful approach to stimulating and strengthening such dialogue. It has also deepened our understanding of the issues that mean the most to Indigenous peoples. Ladies and gentlemen, the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples shows significant common ground between the development concerns of the Indigenous people and the Millennium Development Goals. But the MDGs' outcomes for Indigenous people have fallen short of expectations. One of the lessons of this is that policies designed to promote universal access to culturally sensitive social services have been inadequate, and the international community needs to reconsider its approach. In the context of elaborating the post-2015 development agenda, it has been frequently observed that the core concerns of Indigenous peoples, both at the national and international levels, should be recognized in a clear and forthright manner. This would entail an explicit assertion of your collective rights, and that, among other things, the special conditions and needs of the women, children, the youth, and the disabled members of the Indigenous communities be given a place of priority. This point has, of course, been made with particular emphasis by the various Indigenous representatives of civil society who have participated in the events that I have organized in the context of the theme of the 68th session of the General Assembly, namely the post-2015 development agenda, setting the stage. In addition, recent development discussions on the post-2015 development agenda have also brought to light the universal relevance of values which are particularly dear to the Indigenous peoples, such as freedom from discrimination, the right to live in freedom, peace and security, the protection of biodiversity, good governance, the sustainable management of natural resources, cultural diversity, to cite only a few. In fact, in last week's General Assembly thematic debate on culture and development, many member states recognize the essential contributions of culture to development, which has been highlighted as a priority among indigenous peoples. At this debate, we heard numerous calls for the post-2015 development framework to fully integrate the role of culture and cultural diversity into the broader goals of promoting economic growth, social inclusion, and environmental sustainability. Let me also add that the second international decade of the World Indigenous Peoples will conclude at the end of this year. The final report on the achievement of the goals and objectives of the second decade and its impact on the MDGs will be available to member states. I am confident that this report could serve and should serve as an input to the discussions on the post-2015 development agenda. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, side by side with the evolution of these discussions on the future development agenda, I have also been engaged as President of the General Assembly in implementing a mandate which I receive from the General Assembly in its Resolution 66-296. In that resolution, the Assembly decided that it would hold in September of this year a high-level meeting to be known as the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples, the first of its kind to be held in the United Nations context. The unprecedented nature of this decision is an acknowledgement of the changes taking place in relations within as well as among states. In the section describing how the meeting should be organized, the General Assembly resolution called for a process of consultations between member states and you, representatives of Indigenous peoples, so as to prepare the draft of the outcome document of the conference. My first challenge in this regard, to which I started to address myself in the very first days after my election as president to the presidency last June, was to establish among member states a mutually agreed basis for the consultations to be undertaken. So far, and our Secretary General just referred to it, all sides with a stake in this matter have been unable to identify an acceptable formula. But I wish to assure you that all my efforts will be dedicated to finding such a formula, even as we sit here this morning. Please be assured that my team and I are deeply mindful of your concerns, especially about the need for an inclusive process that will ensure a world conference that effectively addresses the most serious challenges confronting Indigenous peoples. It should and it must be so. I also want to underscore that we remain committed to ensuring that the required consultations are convened and that all the necessary requirements will be in place in order to hold a successful conference. On that, you have my word. Ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime, however, I wish to announce the convening of the interactive hearing, also called for in that General Assembly resolution, soon after this permanent forum. This event will provide an opportunity for dialogue between representatives of the Indigenous peoples on the one hand and on the other representatives of the United Nations system and a variety of sectors of national society. It has been mandated by the Assembly in its Resolution 66-296 as a channel for providing input into the preparatory process for the World Conference. The effectiveness and the success of the interactive hearing will naturally depend on the kind of use you make of this forum that begins today, and on the quality of ideas and the programs that you generate. At the end of the day, no one knows better than you the challenges you face and the importance of drawing maximum international attention to your situation. This forum provides you with an opportunity to make the wisest use of the opportunity that begins today. There is simply no choice but to do so. After this forum concludes, we can and should focus on the mechanisms and successes that you, as representatives of the indigenous peoples of the seven regions of the world, have long championed. And I urge you to continue to do so. I thank you.
I thank the President of the General Assembly for his statement. I now have the honor to invite His Excellency Martin Sadczyk, President of the Economic and Social Council, to make a statement. Mr. Sadczyk?
Madam Chair, Dali Sambodoro, first let me congratulate you to your unanimous election as chair of this important forum, esteemed Mr. Secretary General, esteemed Governor General of New Zealand, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished representatives of member states, organizations, of indigenous peoples and non-governmental organizations, distinguished elders, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed a great pleasure to address the opening of the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I am pleased to see so many indigenous peoples here today. I'm equally pleased to see so many member states delegations that are coming to participate in the Permanent Forum. The Permanent Forum is such an important occasion that brings together indigenous peoples, member states, and the UN system in a spirit of dialogue and cooperation to exchange ideas and experiences, learn from one another, and make concrete proposals to address the well-being of indigenous peoples across the globe. Indeed, this is what the Economic and Social Council envisioned when it established the forum in the year 2000. There is always the necessity to reflect whether the relationship between indigenous peoples and governments needs to be adjusted or improved. This work is important, and the Economic and Social Council takes this work truly seriously. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me now to speak about the ECOSOC, of which this forum is a subsidiary body. A lot has changed in the work of the Economic and Social Council over the past years. The outcome document of the RioPlus20 conference gave ECOSOC the mandate to play a key role in the integration of the three dimensions of sustainable development, that is, economic, social, and environmental. This key role of the Council was also recognized in the establishment of the High-Level Political Forum on Sustainable Development. Last September, the General Assembly adopted Resolution 68/1, in which it strengthened the role of the Council. There are four aspects of the UN General Assembly resolution that I now would like to highlight. First, ECOSOC will lead the system through an issues-based approach and will select an annual theme. The annual theme will be for the entire ECOSOC system to be addressed as part of their respective agendas. Each subsidiary body is expected to address the annual theme from its own perspective and provide substantive inputs to the Council. In 2014, the main theme is the same as the theme of the annual ministerial review, which is addressing ongoing and emerging challenges for meeting the Millennium Development Goals in 2015 and for sustaining development gains in the future. This is a broad theme upon which this forum has certainly a lot to say. Secondly, the Council has established an integration segment aimed at consolidating inputs from various sources, including subsidiary bodies, on how best to ensure a balanced integration of the three dimensions of sustainable development. The first integration segment will be held later this month, will be devoted to sustainable urbanization. I recognize the synchronization of the agenda setting process of ECOSOC and the entire system is needed. We hope to work with the chair of the forum and of the bureau to address this dimension. As far as the process of providing inputs is concerned, the subsidiary bodies will have to identify the best ways to consider the ECOSOC themes. This forum may therefore wish to review its agenda to identify opportunities for addressing ECOSOC issues and provided targeting contributions that will allow for indigenous issues to appear fully in the Council deliberations in the future. Thirdly, the Council is expected to conduct action-oriented reviews of activities, reports, and recommendations of its subsidiary bodies. To facilitate this process, Resolution 68/1 requests all ECOSOC subsidiary bodies to include in their reports an executive summary and to identify recommendations and substantive issues that require further attention by the Council. I am confident that this forum will adopt an appropriate format for its report to the Council. Fourthly, the annual report of this forum will now be considered at one of the Council's coordination and management meetings, CMM, which are held at various times in the course of the whole year. The forum is scheduled to report to the Council at its July CMM. This will provide an opportunity for a closer engagement of the Chair with the Council on the outcome of the current session. At the same time, the Council would like to encourage more exchanges among subsidiary bodies, which can lead to cross-fertilization of ideas and more comprehensive policy responses. Ladies and gentlemen, let me get back to the issue of urbanization to illustrate how a body such as the Permanent Forum can contribute to the work of the Council. We now live in an era where half of the world's population live in urban areas. There is no doubt that the impact of urbanization is being keenly felt by indigenous peoples across the world and carries both potential and serious consequences for their culture, heritage, and connection to their traditional lands, as well as socio-economic opportunities. In the cities, indigenous people suffer major disparities and often live in poor human settlements outside the support of their communities and their culture. At the same time, living in cities can be a positive experience for indigenous peoples and has the potential to provide many opportunities for improving their socio-economic conditions. It is therefore important that governments and urban planners cooperate with indigenous peoples in the provision of employment and economic development opportunities. It is also crucial to maintain strong links between countries and regions of origin and destination in order to ensure continuity in indigenous children's relationship with their families, as well as their cultures and identities. Further analysis and recommendations in this regard would be of great interest to the Council, to ECOSOC, in its deliberations on sustainable urbanizations. Ladies and gentlemen, the Permanent Forum is a truly important member of the UN family. The recommendations that have come from this vibrant body will continue to inform and educate us all. You have ahead of you 2 weeks of hard work and important discussions. I wish you good fortune in your work, and I look forward to following the deliberations and the conclusions of this session. We at ECOSOC are committed to the success and impact of the Permanent Forum. I thank you very much.
I thank the President of the Economic and Social Council for his statement. Thank you, Mr. Sedgwick. I understand that the Secretary General now has to leave the meeting for another engagement. I thank you for your participation and your presence here at our opening ceremony. Thank you very much. We shall now proceed to deal with some organizational matters for this session, in particular, election of officers, distinguished members of the forum. With regard to election of the other officers and members of the Bureau for the forum, I first give the floor to Mr. Devashish Roy, member of the forum. Devashish, you have the floor.
It is my great honor and pleasure to nominate for the membership of the Bureau the following distinguished members of the forum: Mr. Muhammad Hassani Nejad Pirkohi, Mr. Edward John, Mr. Jeva Zoa, and Ms. Maria Johania Choke Kispe as vice chairpersons, and Ms. Valmain Toki as rapporteur of the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Thank you.
I thank Mr. Devashish Roy for the nomination of Mr. Muhammad Hassani Nejad Pikuri, Mr. Edward John, Mr. Jeve Zoa, and Ms. Maria Johania Choke Kispe as the vice chairpersons, and Ms. Valmain Toki as rapporteur of the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Alvaro Pop. Alvaro, you have the floor.
Señora Presidenta, del 13ª sesión del Foro Permanente de Cuestiones Indígenas de Naciones Unidas, permítame felicitarla por su nombramiento y deseo que este proceso sea exitoso en beneficio de nuestros pueblos. A los abuelos, a las abuelas que nos acompañan el día de hoy, amigos, amigas, hermanas, hermanos de los pueblos indígenas del mundo y a los colegas miembros del Foro Permanente, deseo que nuestros corazones coincidan en ese esfuerzo de bienestar y de lucha que tanto se necesita. Yo solamente tomo la palabra, señora Presidenta, para respaldar la propuesta para los vicepresidentes Muhammad Hassani Nejad, el señor Edward John, el señor Gervais Noza, la señora María Eugenia Choque Quispe, y para relatora a Valmain Toki de esta 13ª sesión del Foro Permanente de Cuestiones Indígenas. Este año es particularmente de mucha expectativa de nuestros pueblos, así que tengo la esperanza, como todos nuestros pueblos, de que este proceso será un éxito. Muchas gracias, señora Presidenta.
I thank Alvaro Pop for his statement. May I take it that the members of the forum wish to elect Mr. Muhammad Hassani Nejad Bikuri, Mr. Edward John, Mr. Jeve Zoa, and Ms. Mario Eugenia Choke Kispe as vice chairpersons, as well as Ms. Valmain Toki as rapporteur of the 13th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues by acclamation. It is so decided. I would like to congratulate Mr. Pikuri, Mr. John, Mr. Zoa, and Ms. Choke Kispe on their election as vice chairpersons of the forum, as well as Ms. Toki on her election as rapporteur. I now propose to members of the forum to proceed with the adoption of the provisional agenda for the 13th session as contained in document E-C.19-201-1. The provisional agenda for the 13th session was proposed by the forum in the report on its 2013 session and approved by the Economic and Social Council in November 2013 in its decision number 2013-261. Are there any comments on the agenda as contained in document E-C.19-201-4-1? May I take it that the provisional agenda is acceptable to all members of the forum? Thank you. The agenda for the 13th session is hereby adopted. I now wish to draw the attention of the forum to the proposed organization of work of the session as contained in document E-C.19-2014-L.1. This document was prepared by the Secretariat in consultation with members of the forum. It is a reference guide for the session containing a detailed description of our program of work on a day-to-day basis. I would like to propose one oral revision as discussed by the members of the forum. Under agenda item 3, consideration of the report of the International Expert Group Meeting on Sexual Health and Reproductive Rights, originally foreseen in the morning of Wednesday, May 14, will instead take place in the afternoon on Tuesday, May 13. May I take it that this is the wish of the forum to proceed in accordance with the program of work contained in document L.1, as just orally revised by me? I see no objections. It is so decided. I would now like to make a statement in my capacity as chairperson of the 13th session of the forum, more accurately, the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Your Excellency, Ambassador John Ash, President of the General Assembly, Your Excellency, Ambassador Martin Sajic, President of ECOSOC, Sir Jerry Matapari, the Governor General of New Zealand, Ms. Nuvia Magdalena Mayorga Delgado, Director General of the National Commission for the Development of Indigenous Peoples of Mexico, Mr. Thomas Gass, Assistant Secretary General for Policy Coordination and Interagency Affairs in the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, distinguished expert members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, and in particular, the 9 new members of the forum, distinguished observers from member states, indigenous peoples organizations, the intergovernmental system, non-governmental organizations, the academia, the media, our indigenous sisters and brothers, as well as indigenous youth and indigenous parliamentarians. It is with great pleasure that I welcome all of you here today at this 13th session of the Permanent Forum. First, let us all acknowledge the Onondaga Nation and Sid Hill, the traditional chief of the Onondaga Nation, the original inhabitants of this land, and to say Kuyanak, thank you for the welcome into their beautiful territory once again. I would like to thank my colleagues, the expert members of the forum, for their confidence in me and for their support for my nomination. It is important to acknowledge their depth of knowledge and the value that they bring to the forum. I deeply appreciate their unwavering contributions toward fulfilling the mandate of the forum and carrying out their work with commitment and diligence, which is all done on a voluntary basis. Throughout our lives, each of us has lost extraordinary leaders, individuals that have devoted their lives to gaining recognition of and respect for our fundamental human rights as Indigenous peoples. Today, I want to recognize the contributions of one such leader, Billy Frank Jr., who passed away on May 5th in his own home, the territory of the Nisqually tribe. His efforts were focused upon honoring the treaties that affirmed the Nisqually people's right to harvest salmon and their reliance upon the Nisqually River, from the headwaters to the mouth of the river. He was an important advocate for all Indigenous peoples who rely upon salmon to sustain themselves, including my own people. Let us all remember his life and honor his legacy. Over the past year, the forum members have engaged in various processes at the national, regional, and international level to raise awareness on issues of importance to Indigenous peoples. Consistent with the principles of good governance and a human rights-based approach, we have worked to promote and ensure the full, equal, and effective participation of Indigenous peoples within the United Nations. Creating space for our democratic participation in the UN, its processes and mechanisms, is absolutely necessary. This fundamental right must be respected and recognized in all contexts, including those related to the high-level plenary to be known as the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples. In this regard, I would like to thank the representatives of Indigenous peoples, organizations, nations, and governments who have taken steps to implement this important principle in relation to the ongoing dialogue concerning the World Conference. We appreciate your advocacy on behalf of all Indigenous peoples. Realizing the fundamental principle of equality and respect for the right of Indigenous peoples to directly participate in this proposed gathering remains elusive. Let us hope that the political milieu eventually changes in favor of Indigenous peoples. The forum members are especially thankful to the government of Mexico for their support in this specific dialogue, as well as for hosting our pre-sessional meeting, which took place March 26th through 28th in Mexico City. The pre-sessional meeting allowed the members to plan for this important gathering. We were also pleased to meet with Indigenous peoples of Mexico, democratically elected parliamentarians, representatives of the UN country team, and a diverse array of officials of the executive branch of the government of Mexico. Before turning to the highlights of our program of work for the coming 2 weeks, I would like to underscore that a number of forum members have been consistently concerned with our own methods of work and the need to become a more effective mechanism within the UN system. This message was candidly delivered by a number of Indigenous peoples last year under the agenda item of future work. Please know that we have initiated a discussion concerning important reforms, many of which may prove difficult to adjust to. However, if the objective of the forum is to be responsive to the promotion and protection of the human rights of Indigenous peoples within the United Nations system, we must explore and initiate dramatic reform to do so. Specifically, the forum must sharpen its focus on the number of recommendations that it accepts, as well as potentially limit the number of studies to be concluded by its members. There is also a need for us to concentrate upon the wide array of UN agencies to ensure that they are in fact responsive to the human rights, interests, and concerns of indigenous peoples at all levels. We will also discuss the potential for future sessions to include working meetings between indigenous peoples and governments on a regional basis in order to identify and agree upon issues of crucial regional concern that can be effectively addressed by the UN, especially at the regional and country level. Furthermore, we must invigorate the role of each expert member and enhance the contributions that they can make to Indigenous peoples globally and within their own regions. At present, expert members do not have the resources to undertake consultations in their own regions or beyond. To do so, it will be necessary for additional funds to be raised to allow for more concrete, action-oriented work to be done by all 16 members. We hope that we can count on the support of member states and other donors to assist us in making such reforms possible and thereby ensure greater effectiveness of the forum as a UN mechanism. We must also initiate a discussion about the false dichotomy of limiting UN agencies to only assist indigenous peoples in so-called developing countries, and not those equally marginalized in the developed world. In addition, we must affirm the status of the forum in relation to the Economic and Social Council, and explore options for affirming and expanding our role in terms of reporting to and influencing the work of the Economic and Social Council. In this regard, I welcome the remarks just now made by Mr. Sajic, President of the Economic and Social Council. Ultimately, the objective of the forum is to ensure that Indigenous peoples do have a home within the United Nations, a home that is welcoming and is accorded an equitable and dignified status within this family of nations. Let me now turn to the work to be accomplished over the next 2 weeks. At this 13th session of the forum, the special theme is Principles of Good Governance Consistent with the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This important theme was identified in order to highlight the fundamental principles by which every government on earth should adhere to in favor of all of their citizens, but in particular in favor of the indigenous peoples, nations, and communities that find themselves within the borders of the states that have grown up around us. By giving full effect to the principles of good governance, we can, at a minimum, cooperatively work toward the comprehensive implementation of the minimum standards embraced by the UN Declaration. The principles of transparency, inclusion, responsiveness, effectiveness, efficiency, and accountability are interrelated and mutually reinforcing. Moreover, they are all crucial elements of ensuring equality and non-discrimination in relation to Indigenous peoples and their distinct status and human rights. This afternoon, there will be a panel discussion on this theme, to be followed by an open and interactive dialogue with states, indigenous peoples, and UN agencies. This past February, the forum convened a 3-day international expert group meeting on the theme Sexual and Reproductive Health. The conclusions and recommendations of that meeting will be shared with all participants. The meeting report was adopted by consensus and is included among the session documents. On Thursday, the regional focus will be on Asia, and will include a plenary panel with presentations by forum members, indigenous peoples organizations, states, and UN agencies. On Thursday afternoon, there will be a dialogue with UN agencies. UNICEF, the chair of the Interagency Support Group on Indigenous Peoples Issues, will present the annual report of the IASG, followed by discussions with UN RED. On Friday, there will be a session on the ongoing priorities and themes on Indigenous children, Indigenous youth, the second decade on the world's Indigenous peoples, and the post-2015 development agenda. Some of the discussion on these themes will continue next week on Wednesday, May 21st. Next Monday, May 19th, we begin the week with a discussion on the high-level plenary meeting to be known as the World Conference. These discussions will be conducted in consultation with the Office of the President of the General Assembly. Next Tuesday, May 20th, there will be a focus on human rights. This agenda item includes a critical focus on the implementation of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and there will be statements from the chair of the Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, a member of the Board of Trustees of the Voluntary Fund for Indigenous Peoples, also Mr. Pavel Sulanziga from the Working Group on the Issue of Human Rights and Transnational Corporations and Other Business Enterprises, Mr. Jose Francisco Calidze from the Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, and also Ms. Soyata Mayaga, Chairperson of the Working Group on Indigenous Populations and Communities in Africa. In addition, we will engage in an interactive dialogue with the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, who will soon be concluding his mandate. I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the significant work that Professor S. James Anaya has been able to accomplish over his two consecutive terms. He has made a substantive contribution to the status and human rights of Indigenous peoples through this special mandate. His consistent diplomacy, critical analysis, reports, recommendations, and perspectives will all have a lasting impact, one that we know will continue to assist in redefining Indigenous state relations in a positive fashion. In regard to the dialogue with the Special Rapporteur, there is a request that speakers make interventions specifically directed to the mandate and to this work. I would also respectfully request that participants contribute to an actual interactive dialogue, allowing for sustained discussion on particular topics or subjects, rather than simply registering a series of unrelated interventions. On Thursday, May 22nd, we will address the change of name for the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues to the Permanent Forum on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Your clear, concise interventions on this issue would be greatly appreciated. You will also hear throughout the session the introduction of the studies written by the forum members. These reports have been prepared with a view to addressing global, overarching themes. This approach allows for the forum and its members to influence and shape global policy so as to ensure greater affirmation and recognition of Indigenous peoples' human rights. These are just some of the highlights to be covered during this 13th session. We have a very full agenda, including approximately 60 side and cultural events. Most of these events will take place at the lunch hour, throughout the evenings, and also during the closed meetings of the forum. The list of side events are on the forum's website. Unfortunately, due to the ongoing renovations in the lobby, there will not be an Indigenous exhibit. However, we will still host a cultural event. The cultural event and reception will take place on Tuesday, May 13th, tomorrow, beginning at 6:15 on the second floor of the North Lawn building. In closing, there is an urgent need for all of us, and in particular UN member states, to take collaborative and coordinated actions, actions that are bold and effective to address the continuing discrimination, racism, marginalization, extreme poverty, and conflict faced by Indigenous peoples across the globe. Indifference to these urgent realities should not be tolerated because, as we all know, indifference is the breeding ground for intolerance. We should always remember that Indigenous peoples and our basic human rights are the very reason for the existence of the Permanent Forum. Therefore, I wish to appeal to member states and other potential donors to assist us in overcoming the financial barriers that prevent many from participating in the Indigenous-specific work of the United Nations by contributing to the Voluntary Fund for Indigenous Peoples as well as to the Trust Fund. In advance, I would like to express our appreciation for the work of the Forum Secretariat, the staff of Conference Services, and also to acknowledge the work of the Documentation Center for Indigenous Peoples. Since 1977, DOSIP has been an important organization for thousands of Indigenous individuals, carefully and apolitically assisting many of us with basic necessities such as computers, printers, and copy machines, and by providing a vital record of our work within the UN system. Finally, I would like to pay tribute to the Indigenous peoples of the world who continue to struggle for recognition of and respect for their distinct human rights, sometimes sacrificing their own lives in the process. I call upon all of us, and especially UN member states, to work together to make meaningful and worthwhile changes through this forum for their survival, dignity, security, and well-being of all Indigenous peoples. Kuyanaswa. Thank you. I now invite the Assistant Secretary General for Policy Coordination and Interagency Affairs to deliver a statement on behalf of the Undersecretary General for Economic and Social Affairs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, honorable elders, distinguished representatives of Indigenous peoples' organizations, distinguished delegates, dear colleagues, friends, ladies and gentlemen, I am honored to address the opening ceremony of the 13th session of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues on behalf of Mr. Hongbo Wu, Undersecretary General for Economic and Social Affairs. The Permanent Forum has, since its establishment, serve to provide policy and programmatic leadership on Indigenous peoples' priorities to the United Nations system in the area of culture, education, environment, health, human rights, and socioeconomic development. Its recommendations and advice have assisted member states in meeting the commitments on Indigenous peoples enumerated in the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. During the last 10 years, we have witnessed major achievements at the international level with the establishment of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Peoples, the adoption of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, the establishment of a special rapporteur on the rights of Indigenous Peoples, and the creation of the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous Peoples. Despite these landmark achievements, much work remains to be done to fully safeguard the rights of indigenous peoples in all regions of the world. Indigenous peoples continue to face poor access to health care and education. They suffer from unacceptably high levels of poverty. Indigenous cultures must also be preserved. Indigenous languages are disappearing at an alarming rate. It is estimated that some 600 languages disappeared in the last century, and this continues at the rate of one language every 2 weeks. This year, the deliberations of the Permanent Forum will focus on the special theme on principles of good governance consistent with the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Articles 3 to 6 and 46. Good governance must focus on how the current governance structure is advancing or failing to advance the rights of Indigenous peoples in order to identify necessary reforms toward the full and effective implementation of the Declaration. In this context, we must take into account the governance institutions and systems of Indigenous peoples themselves, which are developed through many years of experience and build on trust, respect, and reciprocity. I am sure that many concrete examples of good governance will be shared during this session. They will serve to inspire member states, Indigenous peoples, and other actors to continue and strengthen the established practice of an inclusive process. This must be done in a spirit of mutual respect, despite diverse interests and positions. Most importantly, the recommendations on the special theme will surely contribute to the ongoing discussions on the post-2015 Global Development Agenda. It is already clear that the post-2015 Development Agenda will have a much broader focus than the Millennium Development Goals. It will have to reflect a greatly changed landscape of international development cooperation. It should benefit all stakeholders, including Indigenous peoples. It is therefore crucial that Indigenous peoples' rights and priorities are reflected in the post-2015 development agenda. As stewards of their territories, Indigenous peoples have made great contributions to sustainable development through their own traditional practices, which are beneficial to us all. The high-level plenary meeting, to be known as the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples, should build on the achievements made at the United Nations to secure and strengthen the rights of Indigenous peoples. Let us assure you of my department's commitment to support this conference and the ideals it stands for. Distinguished delegates, my sincere appreciation to the government of Mexico for graciously hosting the pre-sessional meeting of the Permanent Forum in March this year in Mexico City. It was the first meeting of the Permanent Forum members for the term 2014 to 2016. We thank you for your generous support in organizing this important meeting. In this context, I would like to encourage other member states to also host the forum for the pre-sessional meetings in their countries. The pre-sessional meetings extends our outreach of the national and community level and provides the forum with a rich perspective on good practices in different parts of the world. The Trust Fund on Indigenous Issues continues to be the key instrument to support the Permanent Forum to implement its mandate. This allows the Forum to participate at different events and strengthen its outreach and impact. It is funded through voluntary contributions, and I would like to urge you to generously support the Forum in achieving its mandate. I take this opportunity to thank the member states Denmark, Estonia, and Finland for their contribution to the Trust Fund on Indigenous Issues in 2013. I would also like to thank those who have contributed to the Small Grants Program of the Trust Fund. Through the years, the Small Grants Program has contributed to reaching the critical mass necessary for upstream, sustained policy changes at national and local levels. I hope we can continue to count on your support and urge others to also contribute to the Trust Fund on Indigenous Peoples. It is vital that the United Nations continues to support these small but significant efforts that are defined and implemented by indigenous peoples themselves. In closing, let me express the Department of Economic and Social Affairs' great appreciation for the efforts made by all of you to come together at the United Nations and our strong commitment to indigenous peoples' issues. I'm confident that our collective efforts will help ensure the respect and recognition of indigenous peoples' rights throughout the world in the years to come. Let me also assure you of our continuing commitment, partnership, and support for your work. I wish you much success in your deliberations in the coming days. Thank you.
I thank the Assistant Secretary General for his statement, and I now invite Her Excellency Nuvia Magdalena Mayorga Delgado, Director General of the National Commission for the Development of Indigenous Peoples of Mexico, to deliver a statement, please.
Muy buenos días, muy buenas tardes tengan todos. Señor embajador John Ash, presidente de la Asamblea General de las Naciones Unidas. Señor embajador Martín Saidic, presidente del Consejo Económico Social de las Naciones Unidas. Señora Daly Sambo, presidenta electa del 13º periodo de sesiones del Foro Permanente para las Cuestiones Indígenas, así como miembros del Foro Permanente. Muy merecido cargo, muchas felicidades. Señor Tomás Gass, asistente del Secretariado General de las Naciones Unidas para la Coordinación de Políticas y Asuntos Interagenciales. Señor Jerry Meiparei, Gobernador General de Nueva Zelanda. Señoras y señores representantes de los pueblos indígenas de las 7 regiones indígenas reconocidas en este foro permanente, así como los representantes de las agencias del Sistema de las Naciones Unidas, y representantes de los gobiernos, muy buenos días a todos. Para el Gobierno de México, es un gran honor participar en esta ceremonia de apertura del 13º periodo de sesiones del Foro Permanente de las Cuestiones Indígenas de la Organización de las Naciones Unidas. En nombre del presidente de México, Enrique Peña Nieto, agradezco a los países y a la organización participantes el honor de poder hablar en este foro. México reconoce la importancia de los organismos y los distintos foros internacionales como espacios idóneos para defender el respeto a los derechos humanos, promover los principios de igualdad e inclusión social y fomentar la cooperación internacional para el desarrollo. Este es el caso, sin duda, de este foro permanente para las cuestiones indígenas, el cual es el principal espacio para que los gobiernos, las organizaciones y representantes de pueblos indígenas, así como las agencias del Sistema de Naciones Unidas, reportemos a las acciones relacionadas con la defensa de los derechos de los pueblos originarios del mundo y de los compromisos asumidos por los Estados miembros para fomentar el desarrollo económico, social y cultural. El Gobierno de México reconoce el papel fundamental que tiene el Foro Permanente para encauzar el debate y las propuestas sobre los temas que preocupan a los pueblos indígenas del mundo. En México, el trabajo del foro ha guiado la elaboración de políticas públicas relacionadas con la salud, con la educación y el desarrollo de los pueblos indígenas. México reconoce que las recomendaciones que los expertos del foro hacen anualmente en sus estudios son elementales, son invaluables para asegurar la protección y promoción de los derechos de los pueblos indígenas en nuestro país. Desde este espacio, es necesario seguir impulsando la defensa de los derechos humanos individuales y colectivos, el acceso a las condiciones de bienestar de la población indígena, su derecho a la educación, a la salud, al desarrollo económico con identidad y fortalecer la preservación de su cultura, sus tradiciones, sus idiomas, así como la conservación de los recursos naturales de las regiones donde habitan, que para ellos es muy primordial. Resulta también de gran trascendencia que en los países se reconozcan los derechos de los pueblos indígenas a nivel constitucional, así como su capacidad para organizarse y participar en tomas de decisiones que atañen a su propio desarrollo. La visión del presidente Enrique Peña Nieto es que los pueblos y comunidades indígenas del país vivan en un marco de reconocimiento pleno de sus derechos y en condiciones sociales y económicas dignas que permitan promover la inclusión social, la igualdad y la interculturalidad, como lo indica la Declaratoria de las Naciones Unidas sobre los Derechos de los Pueblos Indígenas. En el caso mexicano, las políticas públicas para la atención de los pueblos y comunidades indígenas se sustentan en los principios de participación social y de transversalidad. La Comisión Nacional para el Desarrollo de los Pueblos Indígenas, como una institución del gobierno mexicano, trabaja bajo esta directriz y como puntos primordiales bajo los ejes estratégicos como los derechos indígenas de acceso a la justicia, impulsando la armonización legislativa y el apoyo legal a nuestros indígenas. En el desarrollo social, a través del cual se dota de una infraestructura básica para los pueblos y las comunidades indígenas, atender los temas de salud, de educación y preservación del medio ambiente. La participación social indígena y la coordinación intergubernamental para poder realizar una planeación como gestión de desarrollo y con la identidad de los pueblos indígenas en cada una de sus regiones. En el desarrollo económico, como base principal y como una de las medidas y de las estrategias prioritarias a través de los proyectos productivos para que puedan generar el ingreso en estas comunidades indígenas y el gran eje transversal referente a la preservación y promoción de las culturas indígenas y sus formas tradicionales de organización y de participación. A partir de estos ejes, se trabaja en la construcción de un México incluyente que permita un progreso de desarrollo para los pueblos mexicanos, que es parte fundamental para el presidente Enrique Peña Nieto. En el propósito de edificar un desarrollo integral para los pueblos originarios, quiero resaltar la importancia que tiene este periodo de sesiones del Foro para el futuro de la Agencia Indígena Internacional. Y como es muy sabido, pues todos queremos que esta agenda de trabajo sea lo más productiva para nuestros pueblos y nuestras comunidades indígenas. México espera que la conferencia tenga un excelente resultado que ponga en línea la labor de las agencias y programas de las Naciones Unidas y las políticas públicas de los estados con la declaración en favor de la promoción y protección de los derechos de los pueblos indígenas. En este sentido, me permito felicitar al Foro Permanente por considerar como un tema central a los principios de buena gobernanza, acordes con la Declaración de las Naciones Unidas sobre los Derechos de los Pueblos Indígenas. Estos principios se traducen en el reconocimiento de la libre determinación, la autonomía, el autogobierno con respeto de los sistemas normativos, el acceso a las tierras, territorios y recursos propios, así como la participación en la toma de decisiones, los cuales el Gobierno de México apoya decididamente a nuestros pueblos indígenas. Auguro que los miembros de este Foro Permanente para las Cuestiones Indígenas el mayor de los éxitos en sus trabajos, en el propósito de seguir impulsando el desarrollo incluyente y equitativo de los pueblos originarios. Muchas gracias.
I thank the Director General of the National Commission for the Development of Indigenous Peoples of Mexico for her statement. And I now have the pleasure to invite His Excellency, Lieutenant General, the Right Honorable Sir Jerry Matapari, Governor General of New Zealand, to make a statement, following which there will be a performance of a traditional chant. So you have the floor.
tihe moriora. Kamehi tuatahi ahau ki tēnei whare o te kotahi tanga o ngā whenua o te ao. Me aku mihi mahana mai I Aotearoa ki te tangata whenua ono daga me koutou ngā māngai o ngā whenua o te ao. Kua haere mai ki tēnei hui wānanga pūmau. Tēnā koutou katoa. I greet this house, the headquarters of the United Nations. I bring warm greetings from Aotearoa to the people of this land, the Onondaga, and to the representatives of the nations from across the world who've come to this permanent forum conference. Indeed, greetings to you all. Madam Chair, could I also share in congratulating you in your appointment this morning? It is a great honour to have this opportunity to present New Zealand's opening statement at the 13th session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Madam Chair, I, on behalf of New Zealand, reaffirm our support for the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. As the Honourable Dr. Peter Sharple stated in formalising New Zealand's support in 2010, the Declaration encapsulates aspirations that underpin the New Zealand Government's relationships with Māori as the tangata whenua, that is, the Indigenous peoples of Aotearoa, New Zealand. It contains principles that are consistent with the duties and principles inherent in the Treaty of Waitangi, one of our nation's founding documents, such as operating in the spirit of partnership and mutual respect. Madam Chair, the New Zealand Government remains committed to building and maintaining meaningful relationships with Māori and to empowering Māori to be actively involved in achieving better results. It's our view that New Zealand cannot reach its full potential unless Māori are empowered to achieve our aspirations and our potential. Over the past year, New Zealand has continued to take some steps towards improving outcomes for Māori. Significant progress is being made settling historic Treaty of Waitangi claims, with a number of settlements completing the final stages and legislation being enacted. Other claimants have reached agreement with the Crown on settlements and final legislation to enact those settlements is being prepared. And a mandate for the largest remaining iwi, or tribe, Ngāpui, has also been recognised, allowing them to progress to the next stage of negotiations with the Crown. The conclusion of each treaty settlement provides a stronger cultural, social and economic base for each tribe and for Māori overall and for New Zealand overall. The Māori economy continues to grow, and the Crown is supporting Māori-led, government-enabled economic development through He Kai Ke Aku Ringa, which translates literally as the food that you need through your own hands, the Crown Māori Economic Growth Partnership. An independent constitutional advisory panel has completed its considerations of New Zealand's constitutional arrangements, including considering the place of the Treaty of Waitangi in current and future constitutional arrangements and the appropriate representation of Māori. The New Zealand Government is currently considering the panel's report. The Government has also received a report from an independent review panel appointed to investigate the legislation regulating Māori land, the Te Ture Whenua Māori Act, and is developing legislative amendments based on the panel's recommendations. These amendments will empower Māori landowners to utilise our land more effectively and with less unnecessary Crown oversight. While New Zealand continues to make progress, more can be done. Sadly, Māori continue to be overly represented in the criminal justice system. Māori have, on average, the poorest health status of any ethnic group in New Zealand. Māori unemployment is still significantly higher than the New Zealand average. And despite positive progress, Māori children, especially boys, continue to underperform their non-Māori classmates in schools. These issues continue to be significant and systemic. Nevertheless, the government is continuing to work with local communities and Māori to identify long-term sustainable solutions. Madam Chair, finally, I wish to acknowledge the commitment of Indigenous peoples to continue engaging in positive dialogue in the lead-up to the World Conference in September. While this has been a challenging period for all involved, I know we are all committed to achieving a constructive and participatory conference which addresses the pressing issues that we all face. Indigenous peoples have contributed an immeasurable effort to both the United Nations organisation and to their own communities and lands. I encourage all Indigenous peoples, their advocates, and all nation states to maintain an open dialogue, to continue seeking enduring solutions to the many challenges that we all face, and to take opportunities to realise Indigenous peoples' potential and aspirations for the future. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a saying, a whakatauki from New Zealand, which asks a question, he aha mea nui o te ao, what is the most important thing in the world? To which the response is, he tangata, he tangata. He tangata. It is people. It is people. It is people. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Kia ora tātou katoa.
Thank you. Kia haria, ke karakia, ke ata, hei whakatutuki, te ahu o tēnei huinga. E te ariki e kore he kupu o mātau arero e toi a koe te mōhio. Kua hanga mua o muri o mātau e koe, o ia mātau e kahatonu nei ki te karangatu ke a koe. Me haere ia mātau ke hea i tōu aroaro, me o marani ke hea i tōu wairua. Tirohia mai e koe o mātau ngākau o mātau whakaaro i roto i tēnei wā. Mā mātau koe whakamoimite whakakororia ki tō ingoa tapu, o whiti tūturu whakamaua ki a tīnā, uie,
kaikie.
I thank the Governor General of New Zealand for his statement, and in particular, the voices of the Maori people that we've just heard. It takes a long time for change. There was a moment in time when Indigenous peoples were not allowed to sing in the United Nations. So we appreciate that. But we're still standing by for even greater change. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers and friends, ladies and gentlemen, sisters and brothers, we have thus concluded the opening ceremony of our session. Unless any member wishes to take the floor at this stage, I intend to adjourn the meeting. Seeing no hands, okay. We'll hear more from you later. This afternoon at 3 p.m., we shall begin our discussion of item 3 of the provisional agenda on the special theme, Principles of Good Governance, consistent with the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Article 3 to 6 and Article 46. So we'll begin with the opening panel on principles of good governance here in this meeting hall, promptly at 3 o'clock. Kianak, thank you everyone for your attendance this morning. The meeting is adjourned.